Welcome back to Ask the Pastor, and remember that you can now start calling in and sending in your question through SMS or WhatsApp, and we'll be so glad to have those questions and to give biblical answers as the Spirit of the Lord gives us utterance and boldness to speak here. Okay, so as the question comes in, we have this already in from Brother Alvin from the UAE. And he says, Shalom, sir, I got a couple of questions for clarification. Okay, I've got a couple of questions for clarification. And one of them is, can someone be righteous without the Holy Ghost? So that's
that,
one of the questions.
That would be self-righteousness.
Okay.
The Bible calls it self-righteousness. Righteousness. There has to be righteousness that is directed by God.
Okay.
If not, it will just be morality, nothing more.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, Brother Alvin. Question two from Brother Alvin from the UAE says, will there be righteous people on earth during the millennium reign? If yes, what will be their end?
Well, when you say righteous, I hope you catch the meaning of righteousness. Mm-hmm. Righteousness is doing the will of God. Sure, there will be people who will be doing the will of God. What will be their
end?
Their end, when at the end of the millennium, the second death, they will escape the second death. As we see in Revelation chapter 20, the second death, they will escape it. Simple.
All right, so Brother Elvin.
Which is hell.
Okay. Mm. Brother Elvin, question three from Brother Elvin says, given that those who are holy will be in the air with the Lord, on what basis will the righteous be judged? Will they gain eternal life? Probably still referring to those in the millennium.
Okay.
If that is it, then the question has been answered. And question four, still from Brother Elvin. Question four says, what did John mean by let he that is righteous be righteous still, and he that is holy be holy still? Revelation 22,
11. Whatever you believe,
11.
Hold on to it, for it is now no more time to dabble. Mm-hmm. You're either a believer or you're an unbeliever. Whatever you believe, you better hold on to it. Mm-hmm. Nothing more. Because the time is no more.
Okay. All right. So God bless you, Brother Elvin from the UAE, for your questions that we've just answered. So we have other questions coming in. Okay. We have this call from Brother Nuhu from Nasarawa State. Shalom and God bless you, Brother Nuhu.
Hello. Good evening, sir.
God bless you, Brother Nuhu. We can hear you.
Good evening, sir.
Can okay, please go with your question, Brother Nuhu.
I have a question to ask, of which it has been bothering me.
Okay.
I am a believer of the entire message. I got baptized through your watching online since 2016. I have been watching you. I received so many miracles through online. I received my healing through online. But since then, if I have a money devotion with my family, it will be perfectly. But at the end of that money devotion, immediately after, I will be having some misunderstanding with my family. I don't know what is really happening to me. I have been praying over this issue for long. Up to now, I am still facing the same situation. I need to understand if there is a scripture or that will guide me. So please, help me.
Well, Brother Lou, honestly, I don't understand fully your question, because you are saying that after your devotion, you begin to have problem with your family.
Yes,
now,
sir.
Now, when you say family, you mean your wife? Or you mean every member of your family then?
Most especially my wife and my children will be having misunderstanding.
Now every understanding must be issue based. Now, there must be a problem that causes it. So you want to watch out what is it that causes this problem each time we finish our morning devotion. You have to look at the root. You have to be sensitive to know what is the cause.
Yes, sir. I tried everything I could. I am saying this because I am happy because you are always answering questions. I do my best to know the root and the genesis of my problem. Up to today, as I am speaking to you, I am still sensing the same thing.
I'm just saying there is something here, you know. What is the problem? What is it that constitutes the problem? What, there must be something going on now. You mean after service, what is the, I mean after your prayer, what is the nature of the problem? How does it start?
The issue is that maybe I will speak to my wife, a little thing she will burst up in anger, and we will spend like 2 or 3 days. One, we will not be talking to ourselves, and we will even go to church together and come back together, yet we are not talking to ourselves, and it has been disturbing me seriously.
Well, I don't know the nature of your devotion that you make. If I were you, I would concentrate on the scriptures that make for peace between believers, peace between couples in your Bible study.
Yes, I have been doing that. Most especially, I do used to watch the marriage that they used to be on the television, most especially in the evening time on Sunday.
Okay. Your kind of problem will not be the type we will talk here. Maybe you just send us a text, and then we will talk with you later off air.
Okay, sir.
Yes. God bless you.
God bless you, sir.
All right. God bless you, Brother Nuhu. And as we said, when it comes to marital issues, please try as much as possible. You can contact the pastors privately, as the pastor has actually said. Contact the pastors privately. This is just basically biblical questions, and God help us. Okay, so we have other questions coming in. And this is from Cameroon. Brother Emmanuel from Cameroon says, Pastor Moses, more grace, sir. Please clarify this Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Let us make man in our own image and likeness. Who was the Lord talking to? Genesis 1, 26.
We have answered that question, I think, several times.
Yes, sir.
We have a key to this. Before man was created, angels were created. Mm. And angels are ministering spirits. Mm. So certainly, he had an angelic family before man was created. So we can actually say he was talking with the angel. We can confidently say he was talking with the angels that he uses to do whatever he wants to do. You were talking with the angels. And us there, like the Trinitarians, want to say it is Trinity talking. No. Us there does not mean three. Us can mean 1,000, 1 million. Us can mean two. More than one is us. So it's not Trinity. It is God with his angels. Angels were created before even a man was created. We can see that in Job chapter 38, talking about from verse 4.
Job 38 from verse 4.
Up to verse 7.
Up to verse 7. It says, where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou art understanding. Who had laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who had stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy.
All the sons of God shouted for joy when the earth was being created. Mm. So angels were created. They were also a family. That's why he called them sons of God. Mm. They were a family. So it was a family affair going on there.
All right. God bless you, Brother Emmanuel from Cameroon. Remember, the phone line is open. You can always call. And so we have other questions coming in. Shalom, my dear Pastor Moses and Brother Gossin. I bless God for what God is doing through you to the Bride of Christ worldwide. Revelation is progressive, and we are also progressing with it as you are opening our eyes further. Please, sir, I am somehow reserved on the statement you made that William Branham brought nothing new. It also means that some of the testimonies we heard about him is false. example, the revelation of the seals. We heard about how angel of God came to him and revealed those seals to him. Note, for the fact that someone has said something before another person says it, doesn't matter that thing, doesn't make that thing a revelation. Someone can say something, but it may not be revealed to him by the Spirit. Or whoever it's revealed to and says it by revelation is the one who brought it to the bride of Christ newly. Many people might have been suggesting or saying that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but yet it wasn't revealed to them until Peter said it by revelation in the book of Matthew 16. Please, I need more explanation on this. Shalom, Brother Temitope Jesukunle from Abuja.
Brother Temitope, nobody said Jesus is the Son of God. It was demons that were saying it. Those who should have recognized him as the Son of God were the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, but they were calling him Beelzebub. The reason is because you can't know he's the Son of God except the Father reveal him to you. So I don't know who else referred him to as the Son of God other than the angels that announced his birth, that he shall be called the Son of God. After that, anybody else saying will be quoting what the angel said. But Peter spoke it in a way. He said, "Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." So that is different. Now, back to your question. There's a message I will soon be preaching. Okay. That I titled "The Test of Sincerity." The test. Testing of our sincerity. And when I finish that sermon, then I will hope to establish that many people who are following the ministry of William Branham, following Christ even generally, they are not sincere. Many Christians are not sincere. What is happening to them is not about search for truth and they're seeing truth. Not sincerity, just religion. That is why it is difficult for a denominational man or woman to see any other thing contrary to what the denomination stands for, no matter how truth it is, and take a decision thereafter. It's a test of sincerity. Many of us are following the ministry of William Branham because we believed that what he was saying was the truth. We believe his testimony. And so there are a lot of things we held onto or we hold onto that a time is going to come when our sincerity will be tested. When facts are presented and you weigh them against what you have, whether this revelation will cause a corresponding response or the appropriate response, if it was truth that led you to that ministry. Now, if a man tells me, and we have been re-echoing it, that no man has ever, or we believed as our preacher within the entire message kept telling us that no man ever knew anything about the seals in Revelation chapter 6 until William Branham brought the revelation that God gave him. And it is further enforced by the statement even from him, William Branham, that I believe we are misunderstanding when he says he didn't know what was the next seal until just before the message comes, the angel will come in the night and give him the interpretation. We believed him. But when time goes and then you discover that, oh, even William Branham even acknowledged that Clarence Larkins preached that message even before William Branham was born. Before William Branham's ministry started, Then you look, take the books that this Baptist theologian wrote, and he wrote many books. And then you read that book on this, the book of Revelation, and you see what he spoke concerning the seven church ages and the seal book and many other things in the book of Revelation. And you discover that they are virtually exactly what that man wrote. There are some places that even lifting a whole statement, word for word. And William Branham himself said he read from the man's book, Clarence Larkin's books. So what we are saying is, and that is what you are seeing on the screen, the book of Revelation by Clarence Larkin. And you can go to our website and download it and read it for yourself. Now, it's a test of sincerity. Having read this, including the Seven Church Age book, you are seeing an exposition of the Seven Church Ages by William Marion Branham, and everything written there, you know, some of them almost word for word by this same man, Clarence Larkins. So it makes you to adjust some of the statements you make. Now you now have proper understanding that yes, William Branham brought something that has been revealed by God to another servant of God, but was not propagated, was not exposed. William Branham came to bring it out, just like we bring things out, revelation from the scriptures, and give it out. But if I preach what Apostle Paul preached, then it will be wrong for both you, because you are hearing from me, and to say it is my revelation. And it will be, if it is from a book, then it is a plagiarism. It's a literary fraud. If I claim the work of another person, it's fraudulent. But listen very well. I believe that William Branham had a ministry that brought back to life these areas that have been de-emphasized along the years. He came and made them alive for us. But let us stop saying that revelations came by him. It didn't come by him. The seal book did not come through William Branham. The seven church ages did not come through William Branham. These two for sure came through Clarence Larkin. And not only that, even the calculation of the 666, we know that before William Branham, there was Ellen G. White of the Seventh-day Adventists that gave all that to, with millions of her followers believing and propagating it, even before the ministry of William Branham came to be. Well, let me just inform all of us that we are now in an age of availability of information thanks to the internet technology. So when we didn't have these informations, we could believe anything. But now you can go to the internet and it's full of all the informations you need. So why will I have this information and not adjust my perception of a lot of these teachings we have held on to now that we have evidences before us for what the truth is? So William Branham only came, he didn't bring anything new. If you think there is an exclusive revelation he received from God concerning any aspect of the scriptures we have that has made it clearer for us that no man had preached before, you show me. But for now, I have not seen. William Branham did not bring the Godhead, oneness of the Godhead. William Branham did not bring, because even before his ministry, there was a oneness denomination, and they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They preached against Trinity. There are denominations that kicked against ordination of women preachers. William Branham is not the one that brought, I don't know what else they usually say, revelations. Just you name whatever revelation you brought. Now, you say, but he was the one that was vindicated. What is the vindication? There are three things we use to talk about his vindication. One was the discernment gift that he had, a healing gift. The gifts that he had. Well, we have information now to let you know that even at that time there were others that were operating the same healing gift, and the discernment that were going on. Because remember that was the period of the restoration of the gifts after the Azusa Street revival. All the gifts were restored, including the discernment. That is the word of knowledge. So in Azusa Street, he did not restore some gifts and left some. All the gifts were restored, and they were manifesting generally in that revival that started in 1906. Information available lets us know that. Secondly, he said he had a pillar of fire that was photographed. That vindication is a subject of argument. It's a lot of controversy over it. A subject of it being controversial with a lot of arguments that make a lot of sense for sincere people to take a look again at what actually happened. The third one is the cloud. Same thing, the same controversy. Apart from what William Branham himself spoke, we don't have any more evidence supporting as such. But Pastor Moses, are you now doubting the testimony of the prophet? I don't doubt the testimony of the prophet. My reason for believing him is not the vindication. It is a revelation. He brought me back to the Bible. That is what that ministry did. That what I am today, my Christian faith, is shaped by the ministry of William Branham. And I did not believe him because of a vindication. I believed him because he convinced me by the revelations he was bringing up. I was speaking for truth, and he led me to truth. A lot of confusion in the Christian faith. William Branham shaped my Christian faith and removed those confusion. Among all the preachers, his own messages made the most sense to me and took me closer to the Lord than any other preacher. And I can never deny that experience. But any other thing the followers are ascribing to that ministry, I leave them to that. It has nothing to do with my faith. And I'm not a preacher, William Branham. I am a preacher of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are attempts to shift us to the man William Branham. So in the course of bringing people back to Jesus Christ, our Savior, I may be saying it in a way that can be misunderstood, but always note that I may be rude in speech, like Apostle Paul said, but not in knowledge. I say that way because the enemy wants to take us from Jesus to Abraham, and a lot of people are trying to let us know that you can't even know Jesus unless you go through Abraham. And I said that is the biggest lie any human being who holds this Bible can say, because what takes us to the Lord Jesus is the Holy Ghost. And that is what the Holy Ghost is given for. Now, yes, the Holy Ghost uses ministries. The ministry he uses are the ministries in the Bible, the fivefold ministry. And they are all ministries of the Holy Spirit. And they are all servants of Jesus Christ. And we must never take any man and place him above where God has placed him. Never you place a man to be co-equal in any way to share the glory with the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Never you make the mistake of preaching a man rather than preaching Christ. Don't preach the ministry of a man. Don't preach any messenger. Preach his message. If you preach the message, then you'll understand who sent him. And no servant will claim the glory of his master. William Branham will never take the nonsense that is going on now if he were alive. I am in the ministry of taking people away from Abraham to the Bible, and I intend to do that very, very effectively. I know what it will cost me. It will cost me friendship. It will cost me a lot of associates. But I know heaven will rejoice for me because it is my ministry. We are to preach the gospel of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, not through any man. And so when I was in Tanzania, one of the inter-message pastors, question and answer in that program, he asked me in 2019, Brother Alu, are you behind William Branham or not? I told him, shut up. I am not behind William Branham. I am behind Jesus Christ who called me. How can you bring, associate William Branham with my salvation? How can you associate William Branham with my ministry? William Branham didn't call me. The Lord Jesus Christ called me. I'm a servant of Jesus Christ, not servant of William. What even makes you ask me that question? The man got angry and I nailed it. I used the opportunity and nailed it, believing that that spirit will leave him and come to Christ and hold on to the word. I may have been very rude, but please bear with me. That spirit is aimed at destroying the ministry of William Branham. And we are out. The ministry that God gave William Branham, that shepherd many of us, they are trying to mess it up. And instead of staying with the message, they are going to, you know, begin to idolize the messenger. That will be wrong. Allow me to go further. This is very important to my followers. Okay. A brother sent this to me earlier today. Okay. And listen to statement like this. This was the son of William Branham, Joseph Branham. Okay. He has the voice of God recording ministry, propagating the ministry of William Branham. This is what he had to say 6 days ago. He titled it, The Eagles Gathering Together. It's like he's sending it to some group. Okay. And he's saying here, Dear elected bride, the reason the elected, Jesus said, won't be deceived, because they are that word. They can't be nothing else. They can't hear nothing else. They can't hear nothing else. Listen to those words. They don't know nothing else. There is nothing greater in life than to know that God chose his prophet, is referring to William Branham, before the foundation of the world to speak these words. Then he allowed his voice, that's the voice of William Branham, to be recorded so we, his predestinated bride, could refer back and hear his voice that was recorded and stored up, because he wanted us to know. What did he want us to know? He wanted us to know we are the word. We cannot be deceived. We can't be nothing else. We can't hear nothing else. We don't know nothing else. He knew we would need encouragement today like no other day in history. The battles will be raging like never before. His bride will be put to the test. But if he could remind his bride who they are, they could rejoice in their hearts, knowing they are his sweethearts in his perfect will. Whatever Satan throws at us, whatever we have to go through now, we know he is choosing a bride, and we are that bride. We are not ashamed of our revelation of the word. We will never try to do God a service without being the will of God. To us, it is spiritual food in due season. We recognize that there will be the anointed ones at the end time, but we will stay with the word. If you will like this same assurance, it's advertising, Joseph Branham is advertising, come join us Sunday at 2 p.m. Jeffersonville time to hear the anointed ones at the end time. That is, come and the tape will be played for you to hear. That is his evangelism. He wrote another one that I was about to read. He said, In the days when our Lord Jesus was here on earth in flesh, the skeptics and the unbelievers said unto him, how long dost thou make us doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Once again, he's going to speak to us pretty plainly and tell both his critics and the bride, I am a man that comes from God, sent from God, ordained of God with the truth, thus saith the Lord. I have been in his presence so long, I will speak to you as God himself. He continues, I want there to be no doubt and for you to believe I am God's messenger to you. The message that I speak and the messenger are the self same thing. We are one and the same. He sent me to you to represent, thus saith the Lord, word by word. Remember, God's word says he will not do nothing until he reveals it to me first. Men want to put their own interpretation to what I say, but the words that I speak to you need no interpretation. You say only what I say. I also want you to know that the same word that I speak to you also lives in us. You have the authority of the living God in you. You are the living church bride. After I leave, but before the drought begins, God has provided for you a secret place to hide before judgment strikes the earth. You'll be there waiting, eating this hidden food that he will be leaving you. You'll be living on the goodness and mercy of the revelation of Jesus Christ as he vindicates himself to you daily. For you, it will be spiritual food in due season. It will make others sick at their stomach. I will be too rich for them. But for you, his sheep, it will be the bread of life. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Don't forget, I will feed thee there, not someplace else, there. People will laugh at you and say you are crazy, but what they call crazy and foolish, God will call great. He told us that the great ministry God gave him was a perfect type of the time of Elijah. After the drought was about over, he called him out and took him down to a widow's house until the drought was over. He said the widow had not associated herself with the unbelievers or took the mark of the beast during the drought. So he called Elijah to sustain her. She was ready to die as she just had one little cake left, one little thing she was holding on to. Elijah called out to her, give that to me first, for thus said the Lord, that barrel will not go empty, neither will the cruse run dry until the day that the Lord God sends rain upon the earth. She had to put God first. She had to believe and hold on to every word that messenger said. She knew that the messenger and his message were the same. The words he said to her will have to come to pass, for it was thus saith the Lord. So is it today that the bread of life that the children eat on follows the message of God to sustain them during the time of the drought. That same word has come to us and is in us, and we are feeding on the secret things of God, which is hid from the world. He has revealed to us that the messenger and the message and the messenger are one. The spiritual food is ready and it is in the season now. You are welcome to yet another red letter day for the bride. We will grab our cruse of oil and it will be running over. Then we will scoop the barrel of meal and it will be full to the brim. We will sit together in heavenly places from around the world, hidden away in our secret place, enjoying the hidden manna as God vindicates himself to us. Come gather in the sheep pen with us Sunday at 2 p.m. Jeffersonville as we hear God's messenger bring us God's message. They should come on that day and listen to the message, a tape preached by William Branham titled Spiritual Food in Due Season. You can see from what I am reading here that it is not about the propagation of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it is about a man that is being presented to us. But let me just tell you, it is thus said this Bible. elect can never be deceived. He said to be so close that if it were possible, would deceive the very elect. I don't want any other message that will not make Jesus Christ real to me. I reject it in the name of Jesus Christ. I don't want to hear about any man other than that man by whom salvation came. For there is only one man, the mediator between God and man. It is the man Jesus. Revelation chapter 5. No man on earth was qualified to receive that sealed book from he that sat on the throne. And when John was weeping, one of the elders in Revelation chapter 4, one of them told him, "Weep not, John." And what did he see? The lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the one that has prevailed. No man, all of us, including Elijah. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And so none of us was qualified. But he uses men. And for me, he has used William Branham for me to see him. There is a very interesting setting that I belong to in John chapter 1, from verse 35.
Okay, John chapter 1, verse 35.
Yes.
Verse 35, and it says, again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples.
He had disciples. And William Branham also had disciples, followers of his ministry, and I am one of them. Yes.
And looking on upon Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God."
What did John say to his disciples?
"Behold the Lamb of God."
He showed him Jesus, for that is his ministry, to show his disciples Jesus. And let's see those who understood John. What happened?
And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus.
They did what?
They followed Jesus.
Did they hear anything again about John the Baptist?
No.
They followed Jesus. Instead of following Jesus and talking about Jesus, they have been busy talking about John. Abby? Is Satan trying to mess up this glorious faith that God gave us through that ministry? You can see that the writer, that is Joseph Branham, all he's trying to do there is to propagate what is in the tapes. And today you have people, the way it's presented there, do you need any more preacher? Just go and be playing the tapes that were recorded last 1965. That's all. That is this food that we need for today. No, sir. We need more than that. A lot more that the devil is cooking up now. That the living ministry of the Holy Ghost will raise up men to counter them.
Amen.
That is the truth.
Amen.
Because here we are. Gross darkness is still going on. And what do you have to confirm? What do you have again to show that you are even a follower? Where is Elisha? Where are all the vindication? Where are all the gifts that followed the word that William Branham preached? Why is he not following the followers? It is because they misrepresented. I take so much time to say this because I'm using the opportunity not only to talk to you that asked the question, but to all followers of that ministry that may come across us. God bless you. I think there's a call coming from where? Sister Genevieve.
Sister Genevieve. Okay, from Ebonyi State, Sister Genevieve. God bless you and shalom. Please go on with your question.
Shalom, sir.
God bless you, shalom.
Sister Genevieve, calling from Ebonyi State.
God bless you, you're welcome.
Thank you, sir. Sir, please, I want to ask a question.
Okay.
I joined Bright TV February this year.
Okay.
So since then I've been following your program online. So but something happened the first month I start following you people online. I've been praying for the gift of the Holy Ghost since then. So when as the ministry was going on, something happened in my house. I was just screaming. I couldn't go myself. I couldn't control myself. But my landlord came up and locked the doors. asked me to off. I couldn't hold myself, so it was my son that opened the door for him. Asked my son to off the telly, off everything. So since then, and there are some members I invited to the program, and when they watched it, they fall in love with the program. So every Friday, Covenant Vision, they come to my house for the program.
Amen.
But why? My question now is that the landlord is very angry with me that I cause that I'm making nuisance in the compound, and he reported me to my husband. My husband does not live with me; he's another personnel, so he always come once and he will go back. So every little thing, he will call my husband to inform my husband that we are causing nuisance in the compound. Since then, if I'm watching the program Night Vision, if I'm following up, I can't, if Pastor is asking, shout, praise the Lord, I can't shout. Some things that Pastor will ask us to do, I can't do because I'm scared of my landlord hearing my voice. So I'm just a year old in this place, in this house I moved into. I don't know if I'm to continue living in this place because since I moved in here, since I joined the program, I and my husband, we have been having issues because of what the landlord is telling my husband. So the thing is disturbing me bitterly because I can't flow again. If I want to connect, I can't connect because I'm scared of my landlord hearing my voice.
Sister Genevieve, can you hear me?
I need an advice, sir.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
You can hear me. Talk to me through the phone. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you through my phone.
Where is that in Eboin? Where do you stay in Eboin?
Abakaleke Mentan, the state capital.
Abakaleke. Do you know there are other brethren in Abakaleke?
I don't know. I know that, but I don't know where they are staying.
Yeah, sir. There are some wonderful sisters there in Abakaleke.
Okay, sir.
I will get their phone number. Maybe, can you text us your number? I mean, just let us know your sister Genevieve at Abakaleke,
right,
and then we will link you to them so that you can be having fellowship together instead of disturbing your landlord in the house. I understand how they feel. They don't understand. They cannot understand what type of ministry is this that is even sending a revival to people in their bedrooms, in their homes.
Yes, sir.
Where there is life, there's nothing you can do. There's life, and God cannot be limited by anything.
Yes,
that's why we call this a timely technology.
Yes,
so he doesn't understand. All they know is that you worship in the church building, not in the house. So why would you be shouting? We understand. So all things work together for good. At least the action of the landlord will now cause you to know where other brethren are, and you people can be gathering together from time to time.
Yes, sir.
So I will give you the phone number of Sister Chika. Sister Chika is in Abakaleke.
Okay, sir.
Very wonderful sister. She's also does not joke with her faith. So
yes, sir.
I will. And in case of those who may be in Abakaleke listening to me, maybe I should give the phone number online. Do you have a biro?
Yes, sir, but I'm not closer to the telly. I'm inside the room.
No, I'm going to call it out. Wherever you are, you can, if you have a biro, just write it. Okay. There may be some other people there that anybody that may be wanting to know others. Now 070.
Yes, sir.
655.
Yes, sir.
004.
Yes, sir.
06.
Thank you, sir.
That is Sister Chika.
All right,
her name,
sir,
is Chika. She may even be listening to us now.
Yes, sir.
She may even be listening to us now. She used to send me Abakaleke rice. I cannot forget her because I eat her rice a lot.
Thank you, sir.
And for those of you at Eboin, there, Abakaleke, if you get in touch with her, you will know the location of the other brethren gathering there. God bless you. I wish you more grace.
All right. God bless you. All right. God bless you. So we have other questions. coming in. All right, we have this from Brother Jeremiah from Lagos State, Nigeria. He says, Shalom, big brother Moses. My question is from the book of Leviticus, chapter 2, verse 11. In grain offering, they don't use yeast. I know that yeast is corruption, but what of honey? Why are they not using it? From Brother Jerry from Lagos State, Nigeria.
Okay, let's read it.
Okay, Leviticus chapter 2, verse 11 says,
there's something there.
Oh, that's that from verse 9.
Yes.
From verse 9. And the priest shall take from the meat offering a memorial.
That is the ordinance for the meat offering.
Okay. Yes. And shall burn it upon the altar. Mm-hmm. It is an offering made by fire of a sweet savour unto the Lord. And that which is left of the meat offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is a thing most holy of the offerings of the Lord made by fire. Now verse 11. No meat offering which ye shall bring unto the Lord shall be made with leaven, for ye shall burn no leaven nor any honey in any offering of the Lord made by fire.
So the question is, why honey?
Yeah, why is, if she, he understands that, he understands leaven, but why is honey so not allowed? That's the question.
Well, I think I have to take a look at that again. Okay. Maybe I have to take a look at that. I don't know why honey was forbidden, but I don't know how you would take honey and give a burnt offering with honey. Honey is not put in fire, so why will you put honey in a fire? So I don't know how to test if you put honey in a fire. So I don't know.
Or could we also look at it from the angle of the spiritual significance? Since leaven had a spiritual significance that was not really attached to the distance. That was why God said, keep leaven out of it. So the same thing, some people had the idea of using honey, so God told them to keep it out because of this, the purpose for which that offering.
Well, I don't know what honey will represent. Honey is good. Honey is good for everything. So I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe some other explanation which I may not be aware of. Maybe I'll try to find that out and then get across. Maybe next Monday.
Okay. Honey, right? Leviticus 2, yes, verse 11.
Leviticus 2:11. I'll surely get an answer to it.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. God bless you. So we have more questions coming in. Okay, we have this from Ghana, Brother George from Ghana says, Shalom, Brother Moses. And Brother Godson, and from us we say Shalom to you as well, Brother George. Says the Bible tells me that faith without works is dead. Is faith in this case the fruit of the Spirit or the testimonies of your faith?
We answered this. We said faith is a gift, not a fruit. Faith is a gift of the Spirit, not a fruit of the Spirit.
All right. Okay, we'll take this question then. Shalom, Church. Brother Moses, I'm just concerned about some of your views about Dr. Abel's teachings. You are on end time messages and he's explaining the Bible. Let us say in his own understanding, you say he is out of the truth. My question here is the book of John chapter 10 verse 27 and 28, which Jesus Christ is saying no one can snatch his from his hands. Does he mean that an elect will lose his election because he listened to false doctrines? Again, as you are speaking the truth, does it mean that if your name was not written in the book of life from the foundation of life, or foundation of the world preferably, I think, and listening to a Pastor Moses teaching, you will become an elect? Okay, again, the Bible says if you have the Holy Ghost, it will teach you all truth. Does it mean all Nigerian pastors don't have the Holy Ghost? The Bible itself is confusing as concerning the baptism. Abraham gave a 10, now you use the word pay. Is it Dr. Damina who explained it and some of us understood give and pay, which most pastors has used to intimidate Christians? More light, thank you. My name is Teresa from Australia. Questions quite long, so we're going to then take them bit by bit. And that says, Shalom, Church. Brother Moses, I'm just concerned about some of your views about Dr. Abel's teachings. You are on end time messages and he's explaining the Bible. Let us say in his own understanding. You say he's out of the truth. My question here is, the book of John chapter 10 verse 27 and 28, which Jesus Christ is saying no one can snatch his from his hands. Does it mean that an elect will lose his election because he listened to false doctrines? So John chapter 10 27 to 28.
Yes.
And it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they know me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand.
And the question is, can God
an elect lose his election because he
does it mean that an elect will lose his election because he listened to false doctrines?
Yes.
Of course, you cannot believe a lie and end up where truth is supposed to take you to. Lie is complete opposite of truth. Now, elect can never be deceived. That's why they are elect. Now, 2 Thessalonians, I believe, is chapter 2, am I correct? Now, yes, verse 13.
Okay, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. But we are born to give thanks always to God for you,
yes,
brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God had from the beginning chosen you.
That is the election. Elect means you are choosing.
Amen.
Choosing you to what?
To salvation through sanctification what? Of
through
the Spirit.
Sanctification of the Spirit and what?
Believe of the truth.
Believe of the truth. We must first establish this fact,
okay,
that the Bible lets us know that there is the spirit of truth.
Amen.
And the spirit of error.
Sure. Amen.
There is Christ and Antichrist.
Amen.
There is the spirit of truth and there is the spirit of error. Now, see the spirit. It is these two spirits that were in the Garden of Eden. The serpent was this had the spirit of error, and the spirit of truth will lead you to life, the tree of life, source of life, source of death. Now, this is how you see them. The Lord God Almighty gave his word to his children.
Amen.
Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
Ye shall not eat of this tree. And the spirit of error now came in to now inject his error. No. Begin to explain and explain. That explanation is what Apostle Paul was talking against. 2 Corinthians chapter 11.
Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 11.
From verse 2.
From verse 2. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy.
Yes.
For I have espoused you to one husband.
Yes.
That I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ.
Uh-huh.
What I fear least by any means as a serpent.
Where is he taking us to? He's taking us to the Garden of Eden. Yes.
What I fear least by any means as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety.
Yes.
So your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ.
Yes.
For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus.
That is what we are going. Another Jesus.
Whom we have not preached.
Yes.
Or if ye receive another spirit.
Yes.
Which ye have not received.
Yes.
Or another gospel.
So there is another Jesus. There is another spirit. There is another gospel. Yes.
Which ye have not accepted.
Uh-huh.
Ye might well bear with
him. Go to verse 13 now.
Verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ.
Go on.
And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light.
Go on.
Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works.
So you can see there is another gospel.
Amen.
Another spirit.
Amen.
That is why in Galatians chapter 1,
yes,
Apostle Paul was warning those who received the word of God and they are shifting to another gospel. Go on.
Galatians chapter 1, from verse 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ,
yes,
unto another gospel,
yes,
which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ.
Yes.
But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed.
You see? Go on.
As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed.
So, if any man preaches any other gospel other than what the apostles have preached, let him be accursed. And our faith is built upon the foundation of the apostles,
amen,
and the prophets. Now, if I know all this and I know my scriptures, and the Bible teaches, take for instance, that Christ said we should go into the world and preach the gospel and baptize. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And a preacher like Abel Damina comes and says, water baptism has expired. And using big grammar to explain it. You think serpent just came with one sentence?
No.
So when I look at people like Abel Damina preaching such gospel, where will I say is his source? It's another serpent. That's another serpent talking to the bride of Christ. What is he trying to do? He's injecting another gospel. When Christ himself says, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show forth my death till I come. And years after, Apostle Paul wasn't even there when Christ was saying this. He said he received it. And Abel Damina is playing away communion. And you are saying he's explaining Bible.
And you are explaining the entire message.
He's explaining Bible, I'm explaining the entire message. The entire message is different from the Bible. What is the entire message? Come back to the Bible and stop all these errors. And there are people that are following that. Which brings to life 1 Timothy chapter 4.
Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 4.
From verse 1,
it says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils.
To give heed is to believe and act on these doctrines that seduce you away from the truth.
Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron.
And it didn't just start now, it is a mystery. Apostle Paul called it the mystery of iniquity. That already started at their time.
Yes, sir.
Because I show you two scriptures. One is 2 Timothy chapter 2.
Okay. 2 Timothy
from chapter 2. From 15.
2 Timothy chapter 2 from verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness.
Yes.
And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom Emmanuel and Philetus.
Let me read it again.
Okay.
Let me read it. I will read it for emphasis.
Okay.
He said, but show profane and vain babblings. When I begin to face people like Abel Damina talking, it's a profane. It doesn't take us anywhere. For they will increase more unto ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, a cancer. He said, of whom are two prominent Abel Daminas at that time, Hermanius and Philetus. They were two preachers at that time who were preaching these heresies, who concerning the truth have erred. What were they preaching? They were saying that the resurrection is past already. Water baptism has expired. And by that, they do what? They overthrow the faith of some who would heed such doctrines. But nevertheless, verse 19 is the assurance. That's where the elect comes in. The foundation of God standeth sure. It has this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, because they can never be deceived. And let them that name the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Jude also. I told you, I'll give you two scriptures. Verse 3. This is the way he put it. He said, contend. And that's exactly what I am doing. He said, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Contend. That's exactly what I am doing. For there are certain men crept in unawares. Their ministry has been ordained. They were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the Lord, only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this spirit has been in operation. It has been in operation. You are saying that through Abel Damina, you knew about payment of tithe and giving of tithe. Whether you pay or you give, it's all semantics. When you respond to a commandment to do something, giving of tithe is not something you voluntarily give. You give offering. You pay the tithe because you are commanded to. It is a kingdom tax. So all this explanation about you are to give, you are not to pay, and all that goes with such explanation, I don't know what they want to achieve. It's just academics. It's not theology. It's just intellectualism. The important thing is that the thing came from you. You are giving it because the Bible gives us instruction, injunction to do it. But when it comes to offering, we are admonished to give. For with the same measure you give out, it shall be given to you. But when it comes to tithe, you pay whatever explanation Abel Damina gave you. You will still give the tithe. Anyway, whether you give or you pay, tithe has been given out according to the scriptures. God bless you.
All right, question two, still from the same person. Question two says, again, as you are speaking the truth, does it mean that if your name was not written in the book of life from the foundation of life, from the foundation of the world, I think, and listened to Pastor Moses' teaching, you will become an elect?
Now, listen, he said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. We see them. John chapter 10 and also Luke John chapter 6. Maybe we'll read it. John 6 verse 37. Yes.
All that the Father giveth me shall come to me.
Okay.
And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out.
All that the Father giveth to me, past tense. And he did that from the foundation of the world. And they will come to him. What is it that will attract them to come to him? It's the truth. So you also go to John chapter 10 again, from verse 27, where we read earlier.
John 10, 27. My sheep hear my voice and I know them.
Can you see? They will hear his voice. His voice, there's the voice of truth. And I know them and they follow me. Truth. Follow me. They follow me. Truth. They follow the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Go on.
Okay, verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them
that
out
is,
of
that
my
is
hand.
Why we say elect can never be deceived. So the question is, does it mean that if you hear the teaching of Brother Moses, you will become an elect? No, you were already an elect. That's why you can listen to me and believe the truth. If you were not yet an elect and you were elected from the foundation of the world, oh, glory be to God. You are not elected the day you heard the truth. You were elected, and only those who are elected are God brings to Christ. Because in verse 44 of John chapter 6.
Okay, John chapter 6, verse 44.
John chapter 6.
No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day.
Now listen to the next verse.
It is written in the prophets,
yes,
and they shall be all taught of God.
It is God that will let them know it.
Every man therefore that heard and had learned of the Father, cometh unto me.
Cometh unto me. And in verse 64 and 65.
Okay, 64 and 65.
Yes.
But there are some of you that believe not.
Yes.
For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of the Father.
Except it were given unto him
of the Father.
Of the Father. And watch verse 66.
Verse 66. For from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with
because him. Because they were not ordained to be with him.
Amen.
And you either follow truth or you follow
error.
So the only reason why you recognize truth and run away from error is because you are elect. There is a nature about us. We follow truth. Even if in our sincerity, we are following some error, at a juncture we shall hear the voice of truth. And then we will retract our steps and follow truth.
Amen.
That is the identity of the elect.
Amen. Question three, okay? Again, the Bible says if you have the Holy Ghost, it will teach you all truth. Does it mean all Nigerian pastors don't have the Holy Ghost?
No, no.
The Bible itself is confusing as consigned. Okay, this has to, we can combine the two. The Bible itself is confusing as consigned the baptism. So,
The Bible itself is what?
Confusing as consigned the baptism.
Well, you have to let me know because I've not seen anything confusing. Yeah. Which baptism are you talking about? In fact, both baptism of the Holy Ghost and water baptism, it is clear. I don't know where you see the confusion there. When you listen to error, you begin to see confusion. When you follow through, listen, pick my teaching on water baptism, and you will remove all confusion will be removed from there. And when you say, does it mean all Nigerian pastors
do not have the Holy Ghost?
How can you say that all the Nigerian pastors don't have the Holy Ghost? Did I say I am the only one preaching the truth? Many pastors in Nigeria, many are preaching the truth. Many. I'm just one of them. And you're able to know me because you jam me on air. Some may not have the opportunity I have to preach to the audience I'm preaching to now. But let me assure you, many. I'm even thinking we are more than those you know.
Yes.
Are preaching these errors.
Amen.
So let that be corrected. God bless you.
Okay, question four, which I believe that has been answered, but let's still see what it says. Abraham gave a 10. Now you use the word pay. That has been answered.
I've answered that
question. All right.
Continue.
Which most pastors used to intimidate? More light. Okay.
Teresa from Australia.
God bless you and thank you for your questions.
I hope if you are still not clear, feel free to get back to us again and we'll be glad to give you our understanding.
All right. All right, so God bless you. Okay, we have this call from Sister Juliet from Ebonyi State. Sister Juliet, God bless you and shalom. Please go on to your question.
Okay, sir. Good evening.
Okay.
God bless you.
All right, sir. So my question is this.
Another Juliet from Ebonyi.
Yes, from Ebonyi State.
Abakaleke. Where do you worship?
So that is why I'm calling to know if you know where
the number
is in Abakaleke so that you can direct me.
You did not copy the number I gave on the screen?
No, I did not copy it. Coming in. Sir.
Oh, you are just coming in. Okay. You will not be led you will not be led for rapture in Jesus' name. Can you see it now on the screen?
Yes, sir.
You can see the number now. 0706-55-00-406. You have seen it now?
It
is appeared. Okay. 0706.
I still have questions to ask you.
Okay, but I hope you have gotten this number.
Yes, I've gotten it, sir.
Thank you. Ask Sister Chika where they usually gather. Sister Juliet, I can hear you.
My question is this. There is a place that my husband is worshiping. So they say they have a 21 days prayer. After the 21 days prayer, then the pastor told him that he will not stay with his wife till after the prayer. I said I will ask my daddy if it's true.
Well, listen, first and foremost, when it comes to fasting, there is no particular doctrine for fasting. It is fasting is abstinence. And the person fasting, depending on what he wants to achieve, he decides what you want to abstain from. So if the church come together and agree that they should fast for any reason, then the church will also determine what to abstain from. And if they decide that what they abstain from includes having sex between married people, they should abstain also from coming together in conjugal relationship, then they have no sin. It's an agreement. And whatever they bind on earth is bound in heaven. It's agreed. They agree according to Matthew 18. So it is no sin. After the 21 days, whatever they have agreed, it is over. It's not a doctrine. It is an agreement which the Bible permits you to agree, you know, concerning anything. And heaven will back it up. Sister Juliet, am I clear?
Yes, sir. I'm hearing you.
But you don't seem happy with my answer.
Yes, it's okay. But it remains one, sir.
But is this answer, is this satisfied?
It's satisfied. I understand with him now.
Thank you very much.
Another question is this.
Yes.
I have an uncle, and I know he's an occultist, and he wants to offer me a gift. Should I collect it?
He is not initiating you into his cult now. You will still relate. You will still relate with him now. It's your uncle now. It's your relation now. So he's not initiating you. So why are you refusing to relate with him? If he gives you a gift, there's nothing wrong with it.
Okay. Lost the call already.
Have we lost that call, Sister Juliet?
We lost the call.
So Sister Juliet, you are hearing me. As long as he's not telling you to come and join his cult, collect that money in the name of Jesus Christ and bless that money and use it. It's your relation. God bless you.
All right, but still in that respect, because there could be also an angle where maybe her spirit might not be willing to collect.
Your spirit rejects it, that's okay. There may be a reason why the spirit would make you reject it, but not as a Christian principle. Okay. No.
Okay, all right. We have a question from Brother Sam from River State, Nigeria. It says, Shalom, Pastor, if a sinner got saved on the sickbed without the Holy Ghost baptism, can he make heaven? Brother Sam from
then
River
State. Then what is it that constitutes salvation? You are not saved until you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. God bless you.
All right. All right, God bless you, Brother Sam. So let's keep the questions coming. This is from Chukwe Meka from Togo. Says, Shalom to the Bride of Christ. My question goes like this. As a businessman, how do you know the exact amount to pay as your tithe?
Once you can determine your profits, give 10% of that profit as your tithe. Simple.
All right. So God bless you, Brother Chukwe Meka. Okay, we have another question. And this is coming from Favor from Edo State, Ekpoma. Says, Shalom, sir, and good evening. I want to start a fellowship of this end time message in my campus right here, where I am schooling. So please, sir, how do I start? I need counseling from you and support. Thank you, sir. God bless you for all that God is doing with you.
How you should go about it is to go and preach. When they believe, you come together and start fellowship.
Yes.
Go and evangelize. Share your faith with people around. When they believe, fellowship starts where two or three are. And then the three, we go and bring three more. It becomes six, you go and bring six more.
Yes, sir.
And that is how you go ahead, if there is life in it.
Amen.
There will always be people coming. If your church is not growing, so there's no life in it. Right. Anything that has life grows.
Yes.
Response.
Amen.
Moves. But when there is no life, it dies. It dies or it's stagnated. Starchy. No life. When there is life,
it
will grow.
Amen.
Yes.
All right, God bless you, brother. Favor from Epoma, Edo State. All right, this is Sister Monica from Jos. Sister Monica, God bless you and shalom. God bless you. Please go on with your question.
Okay. Good evening, sir.
God bless you, Sister Monica.
Yes, sir. I would like to appreciate you for how you have been teaching us, putting us in the right way. God will bless you, sir, in Jesus' name.
Amen, Monica. And you too.
So, amen. Sir, I have been hearing this adage for long that it's what you have, you give. Okay. But now that I become a member of Bride Assembly, I really understand that word very well.
Okay. You understand?
What you have that you
I
give.
Understand the word that what you have is what you give.
Oh, sure.
Yes. I see the children, the way the children are vibrating in the Bible. I'm just beginning to wonder. Because for long, I will say, Pastor Moses and Pastor Brother Olimide, they know Bible very well. How are they doing it? Then I tell these children, I don't know what to say again. Honestly, sir, God will bless you.
Thank you very much. You are in Jos. Where do you worship? Where do you worship in Jos?
I'm online member.
No, you should look for brethren.
Okay, the only one that is close to us here is Akonga.
No. Let me give you the number in case any brethren are in Jos, you are listening to me now. Pastor Osas, let me give you his number. His number is 0806-766-9090. I call it again. 0806-766-9090. Pastor Osas in Jos. You will love to fellowship with him. He's a very gifted preacher and very, very gifted. And very, very powerful man of God there. So what do you say is your question?
I want to know Bible like this. I don't know what to do.
The only way you will know Bible is to study. Give it more time. Give it more time. Give the study of the Bible more time. And it comes from the interest to know God. It's not just about knowing Bible, it's about knowing God, and you only know him more from the scriptures. So start, you will soon know, you will know. God bless you. You want to know like the children know.
Because if I'm reading Bible, before I know, sleep will carry me.
No, sleep will not catch you if you are reading something very interesting. Don't worry. Pastor Sass, he loves the Bible too. So I believe he will lead you through also there in Jos. God bless you. So anybody from Jos, Plateau State, get in touch with Pastor Sass from Jos there. He left. In fact, is somebody working very closely with me, and the Lord directed him to come to Jos. He was in Abuja. And he has just gone to Jos, and they are enjoying fellowship there very seriously. So join him. Don't just remain online. Know your other brethren and enjoy the benefit of fellowship. God bless you.
All right. God bless you. And let's have other questions coming in. Remember, okay, this is from Imo State. Chioma, Sister Chioma from Imo State, Nigeria says, good evening, sir. I watched on the TV recently where Pastor Moses said that the sin Adam and Eve committed was not fornication. Please tell me more about it. Chioma from Imo State.
Yes. The original sin that was committed, is what gave birth to fornication. It's what gave birth to all the sin that you see, adultery, fornication, murder, and all the gossip and they are listed there, that all that do that will not enter into the kingdom of God. What is the sin? It is that the earth of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When you want to eat something, you eat the fruit. The tree there is a source. They listen to a contrary doctrine, a contrary instruction, contrary word of God. What they listened to was not fornication they listened to. If they did not listen to, they wouldn't have known about fornication. And people are still listening to that and doing things contrary to the perfect will of God. So it is because they listened, that's why they fornicated. It is not the fornication that constituted the sin. They disobeyed. And that is why when it came to the turn, if you notice, he first asked Adam. Adam gave reason. He blamed Eve. When he came to ask Eve, God was asking Eve, he went immediately, and she said, it is the serpent. But when he came to serpent, he didn't ask him. He just cursed him straight. That is why we read in the scripture earlier on, in Galatians chapter 1, that if any man preaches any other doctrine, other than what
has been preached,
let him be accursed. You, the preacher, you are accursed. You see? Because you release something that can turn the mind of the people away from the truth, you know, of God. So this eating is the same eating you see Jesus Christ in John chapter 6 saying, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. What is that eating? It is that you receive who Christ is, the knowledge of who Christ is, and you understand, you digest it, then you can have eternal life. Eating there is listening to him. Eating there, for Christ is the tree of life. From him, life proceeds. From Satan, death proceeds. And Satan is the author of knowledge of good and evil. Scientific knowledge is from Satan, perverting nature to take away people from God. God bless you.
All right, God bless you, Sister Chioma, and God bless you. Okay, we have a call from Prophet Success from Benue State. Prophet Success, God bless you and shalom, sir.
Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you. Please go on with your question, sir.
We know Apostle Paul.
Yes.
As a preacher.
Yes.
Show winners. And also, we also know Paul and Silas, their move around, and whistles. Then we also have Prophet Elijah and Elisha.
Yeah.
Is these people work are not the same?
When you say they are not the same, what do you mean? Elijah and Elisha, we are under the law. While Paul and the other apostles are under grace. So they were operating under two different dispensations. So what is it? They were all fulfilling an agenda of God.
I want to ask a question again.
Yes.
Most those people, let's say now, we have in the world now, we have a preacher, and people move around for the winning of the vote, and we also have a prophet, great prophet. Yeah? So now, is these people, now all these people together, are they not winning souls for God?
They are all winning souls for God.
They are all winning souls. Okay, but they work with the same.
They work with, why not? It's still to bring people into the kingdom. We are already given the reason now in verse 12 of Ephesians chapter 4.
Ephesians chapter 4, verse
11 and verse 12.
Okay, verse 11. And he gave some apostles,
yes,
and some prophets,
yes,
and some evangelists,
yes,
and some pastors and teachers,
yes,
for the perfecting of
this
the saints.
This is what it is the reason for the perfecting of the saints.
For the work of the ministry.
The work of the ministry. Which ministry? Ministry of reconciliation.
For the edifying of the body of Christ.
So, what are you, what's your question?
We lost the call.
Maybe you have to call back. I don't understand what is actually wants, where he's going. I don't know. Maybe somebody is saying they are not doing the same work. Or maybe because I say a prophet cannot be pastor. I don't know. Maybe what that was. Maybe you have to call back and then make it clearer.
Yes. So God bless you, Prophet Success. We probably need to call back so that we could get that clear.
Yeah. Okay. He's a prophet. Mm. Okay. Maybe.
So we can go through that angle of a prophet.
So okay. Let's ask this question.
All right. Question. Brother Dan from Owerri, Imo State says, Shalom, I want to know, is the Holy Spirit a gentle spirit or is he also violent? What is the resultant effect if the Holy Spirit is grieved? Dan from Owerri.
Well, when you say the Holy Spirit, you are talking like a Trinitarian who is looking at the Holy Spirit as some second person of a triune God, Trinity. Who is the Holy Spirit? It's the Spirit of God dwelling in you. So when you say it's violent, when there is need for him to be violent, he'll be violent. And when there's a need for him to go ja-ja-ja with you, he will go ja-ja-ja with you. He call up for his pleasure. Now when you say what is the resultant effect of grieving the Holy Ghost? Well, if the Holy Ghost is actually your father, then you can also ask you, anytime you offend your father, what does he do to you? For sure, concerning the Holy Ghost, you will lose the joy of salvation. You will lose the benefit of the indwelling spirit. That's all. God bless you.
All right. God bless you. So, we have other questions coming in. And Brother Javier from Ghana. God bless you. God bless you. Please go on with your question. Shalom, go on with your question, sir.
Okay. I'm saying that if someone who met Christ, in another church, but when he heard about the entire message,
okay,
he wanted to correct his water baptism.
Okay.
So when he got there, the pastor asked that he confess his sins and the prayer before the water baptism.
That you should do what?
If you confess his sins so that they can pray before the water
confess
baptism.
Confess his sins so that they can pray before
the water. That you should confess your sins and pray before the water baptism.
The water baptism. Yes.
Okay.
You confess, like, tell the pastor, okay, about the sins before the water baptism.
Okay. You tell the pastor about your sins.
What's your question?
The pastor will help you to pray before the water baptism.
What is your question?
Yes. So my question is that now the person is in the incest, but he told the pastor communication before the water baptism. So I'm saying that if he now accepting the water baptism, he should go back after realizing that incest is witness of communication.
Whether you should confess your sins to the pastor before you are baptized, correct?
Yes, sir.
No, there is no scripture for that. You are to repent of your sins. It's between you and God. The pastor is not the one that has blood. It's not the one that has remitted your sins, the blood of Jesus. So you are to confess your sin to the Lord and repent. And you are supposed to have done that before coming for water baptism. So when you come for water baptism, the pastor is only going to remind you of the decision you have taken. Now that you have confessed your sin to the Lord, you must repent. Repentance is total turning around and then allow God to walk with you. But that your sins, on the basis of your confession, accepting Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. And what are you accepting? You are accepting that he is the one. For you are the reason he went to the cross and died. So that's why you repent, for his blood to wash away your sin. Then you went with him to the grave to to defeat death. Then you resurrect with him. That is what you demonstrate by that ordinance of water baptism. And your sins will completely be remitted, and you stand before God justified, ready for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Anything beyond that is not scriptural.
All right. God bless you, Brother Javier from Ghana. And we have a question. Okay. This is Shalom to the Bride of Christ from Brother Eugene from Cameroon. Says Shalom to the Bride of Christ worldwide. Please, Pastor, I would wish that you make more clarity on this. When you consider 1 Kings 15, verse 33 and chapter 16, verse 8, I see that King Baasha died in the 26th year of the reign of Asa, king of Judea. Meanwhile, in Chronicles 16, verse 1, I see that in the 36th year of Asa's reign, that same Baasha king came up against Judea. My question is, how is it that Baasha died in Asa's 26th year of reign and was still alive to come up against Judea in Asa's 36th year of reign?
Chronicle is a record of what happened during the kings. Mm-hmm. So it depends on those who are writing the record. Good. But that has nothing to do with our salvation. It's just the record for historical facts of the kings that reigned in Israel. I don't know why you're worried about those dates. Could be a mistake in their recording. Chronicle is record keeping of record. You have to take that. When you are studying the Bible, please don't study it theologically. Don't study it intellectually. Study the revelation you get from it. It's better so that you don't begin to even confuse the translations, and so that you get the proper applications of what you see to apply it appropriately. God bless you.
All right, God bless you, Brother Eugene from Cameroon. And we have another question from Delta State, Abor, Delta State. And this is from Mrs. Rita. She says, Shalom. I discovered that the more I pray, the more things get worse. What shall I do in this situation, Sister Rita?
That means you are praying faithless prayers. One who prays with faith never sees things getting worse. It sees things getting better, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Mm. So learn to pray by faith. God bless you.
Okay, still on that question, could we also look at it from the angle of, could it also be God testing the person on certain virtue?
No.
Okay.
Except you want to argue with me on that.
I don't think I want to do that. All right.
Because, because he's explaining what he's seeing.
Seeing, yes.
That means you are walking by sight, not by faith.
Faith. Okay.
If the word of God says, if I ask him to do anything, he will do it for me, I'm to believe it.
Okay.
So when I pray, we wait. No matter what happens around me, I am holding on to the promise. Mm. Therefore, these things will not worry me. That is working.
Okay, let me still go to still on that question.
Yes.
Because certain things, I remember listening to a preacher one time, having a teaching, and then the preacher said that when you pray concerning, and I do recall you have actually made such a statement too, when you pray for patience, God brings circumstances around you to build up that patience.
No, she's not praying for patience. She's saying the more she prays,
the more things get worse.
That's what I'm saying. Okay. That means she's praying and she's looking at the things around her instead of looking at God's promise.
Okay. Now I get to the angle you're coming from.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. And this is Shalom, Pastor Moses. Please, sir, I need you to clarify me on question one. When Jesus died, he went to hell and collected the keys of life and death. Why did he not command it to come in, which he has the power to do so?
That takes me to 1 Corinthians, I believe. Now, let's go to chapter 1.
Okay.
Yes, and verse 18.
Verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness.
You see, it's foolishness. Mm. Why didn't he just speak? Why did he have to go?
No. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. It is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? where is the disputer of this world? Had not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God.
Yes.
It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that
so
believe.
So you can as well ask, why is God so powerful? He can change. Why isn't just and then a sinner become a saint? Why did he have to send Jesus Christ to go to the cross and suffer and die before we can be saved? Isn't God having the power to just remove devil and then make all of us saints? That's the kind of question this person is asking.
Okay.
It is nothing but he, God, fulfilling a law that he himself is bound by. That is why redemption is a mystery. And unless it is explained to you, we never know. God bless you.
All right. Okay. 25, we still, okay. Let's not read that, but you can read verse 25.
Because Apostle Paul says in verse 17, he said that the preaching of the gospel, say it is the power of God unto salvation. Preaching of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, the power of God unto salvation. And 1 Corinthians 1:24 says Christ is the wisdom of God and the power of God.
Amen.
So that wisdom for our salvation, that power is through Christ. So it's very interesting.
Amen.
And it is to confound the wise.
Amen. You know, 25 is point something interesting. It says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men.
Exactly.
And the weakness of God is stronger than men.
Thank you.
It's question two. Is it right to pray and ask God to write your name in the book of life?
Very, very wrong. I've thought that several times. The reason, because the book of life is already written from the foundation of the world. And it is only those whose names are written in the book of life that would come and be saved.
Okay. Please, sir, will God grant the request of that one if, okay, we've answered this question. Sister Brandine from Cameroon, God bless you. Okay, we have another question, and this says, good evening. Brother Moses Alu and Brother Godson, my name is Joseph.
The question is what again?
Brother Joseph Rada from Livingstone, Zambia, is trying to ask if fellowshipping alone is a sin. He has been an online member since early 2020. Eyes of understanding has been opened, and he's blessing God for this ministry.
Amen.
So, but he wants to know, fellowshipping alone, is it a sin?
It's not sin, but it is only if you know there are brethren.
Okay.
And you even refusing to go to church, it's not sin.
Okay.
You know, it's not sin. There's no commandment that you should go to church.
Okay.
But Apostle Paul admonishes that you should not forsake the gathering
for
together.
Our own good.
It is for your own good, because there's benefit in fellowship.
Amen.
You know, let the brethren know, you know, you know one another, you lift up one another, you know. So the worshiping in line online should only complement what else you get in fellowship. And fellowship is where two or three are gathered. So if you know we are people of like faith, we must be of like faith.
Amen.
Because the fact that you want fellowship does not mean you should go to everywhere. It must be people of like faith. You know, you know somebody has the same faith with you look for them. I don't know what part of Zambia. I don't know, he didn't put the town in Zambia.
No. Maybe okay, yeah, it's a Livingstone, Zambia.
I don't know how far that is from Lusaka.
Okay.
Because I know Pastor Maxwell, very wonderful brother in Zambia, who visited that church, and he believes it as I believe. In fact, he's even more biblical than me, more anointed than me, Brother Maxwell, in Zambia. So if you are close to Zambia, maybe we give you his phone number in Zambia, in case there's anybody there who may be having the same kind of problem, you're looking for a fellowship. I can give you Brother Maxwell's number. Country code for Zambia is +26 260 97 8888. That is 58 85 times then 02. I call the number again, +260 97 88 88 02. I call it again, +260 97 88 888 again 02. Pastor Maxwell in Zambia. Yeah. In Zambia. Okay. A wonderful brother you would love to meet. I hope to host him very soon in Nigeria, courtesy of the roadblock of COVID-19.
Okay, this is Shalom Pastor and Brother Godson. My question is, after baptizing the name Jesus here in Enugu before joining your ministry, and we have been desiring the full measure of the Holy Ghost baptism, Daddy, what do we do? Because we are earnestly in need of it, Brother Edward and wife, online members from Enugu.
Keep
State.
Praying. Okay. According to Luke chapter 11, and verse 13.
Luke 11 verse 13, and it says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?
That's an assurance. I don't need any other scripture. And remember that in John 14, okay, and verse 14,
John chapter 14 and verse 14.
He made it very clear.
And
it
says, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it.
That includes Holy Ghost baptism. Keep asking, and one of these days, there will be a visitation.
Amen.
God bless you.
All right. God bless you, and God bless you, and God bless you, and God bless you, everyone. We really appreciate you staying with us on Ask the Pastor this long, and it's always an interesting moment right here on Ask the Pastor, having you joining us, dining on the Word, and getting inspiration from the Word, and having the Spirit of the Lord give utterance and boldness to speak to His servant, to His minister, to our brother and our daddy, Pastor Moses. Now, I want to say thank you to everyone behind the scene, every crew member, everyone who's been working behind the scene to keep Ask the Pastor and all programs of the Bright TV airing. And we want to also say thank you to every supporter of the Bright TV. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. And we want to say Shalom to the Bride of Christ worldwide. Keep watching the Bright TV.